In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have often wondered about those Roman soldiers who were present at the crucifixion of Jesus, those agents of the empire who carried out the grisly task of delivering the emperor to justice. What must they have made of that strange and foreign land they were sent to? Jerusalem and its people must have seemed so strange to those Romans. The site of the temple, not dedicated to a myriad of gods, but to one God, must have been so odd to their eyes. The sound of Aramaic and Hebrew, so peculiar to their ears. One of the only sure things, one of the only familiar things, must have been their sense of Roman law. In the end, that law boiled down to bend the knee to the emperor. Any challenge to his absolute authority would be met with swift and terrible punishment. Those Roman centurions were probably no strangers to crucifixion. Across the empire, it was a familiar sight. It was a way for the emperor to show what challenging his authority would bring. So common could it have been for them that despite its brutality, there might have been something clinical, something sterile about it. For those Romans, this particular crucifixion outside the walls of Jerusalem on a barren, rocky hilltop, was just one more countless individual who found himself on the wrong side of Roman law and order. And what of this man named Jesus, this man who is said to be a king? What must they have made of him? Their image of a king was surely not this lowly, this humble, this simple man. Kings drenched themselves in earthly wealth. They commanded the lives of all those around them. They wanted for nothing. If royalty wanted something, they took it. Jesus must have appeared to them like anything other than a king. What must those Romans have thought when they heard the man who they were crucifying say aloud to God, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." I do not think I am going out on any limb when I say that must have been the first time they ever heard that. Cries of anguish? Yes. Cries for mercy? Yes. Cries of scorn and derision? Most certainly. But a cry for them to be forgiven, a cry pleading that those who are performing this unspeakable act to be shown mercy, to be shown what they themselves are unable or unwilling to give to Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. What was it that they were doing? Crucifixion was a punishment for people who upset the established order, who challenged the powers that be. Jesus did this not as an earthly king. He did not stand at the front of any army. He did not have vast amounts of wealth to sway the political world. Jesus spoke about radical things. He spoke about the need for people to turn to God and seek forgiveness for their sins. He spoke about people treating others how they wanted to be treated. He spoke about serving others so that all could know God's love. Jesus' actions were radical. They took the form of prayer and hospitality, of welcoming the lost and the stranger, of breaking bread with sinners. These were the words and the actions that led to the cross, speaking the simple yet profound truth that God loves all of his children, performing the simple yet profound act of respecting the dignity of every human being. These simple but radical things led to the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Did they know what these acts of violence would do to themselves, to their own souls? No action happens in a vacuum. No action happens in isolation. What we do to others has a deep effect on us. Every act made out of fear, every act made out of hatred, every act of violence is an attack on one's own soul, each one helping to erode away at the very thing that makes us human. Enough hatred, enough fear, enough violence will whittle away all empathy and compassion and kindness. When we destroy the humanity of others, we destroy our very own humanity in return. And eventually we are reduced to nothing more than baseless animals. No longer will we have an intact soul to guide us to see and cherish the beauty of the world. We will be left with only survival, living an existence devoid of what makes human life worth living. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Did they know what would come from that cross? Did they know that instead of casting down a lowly man, they were raising up a king? Did they know that instead of defeating his movement, the church would be born, changing the shape of the world and human history? Did they know that from that cross, not death, but life would spring forth? That the King of glory, the King of peace, the eternal King of heaven and earth would be revealed in all of his majesty? They could not know because of how limited their sight was. They could not see past their own ideas of a king to see the true king, the Lord of heaven and earth before them. They could not see past their own shallow understanding of the world and of humanity to see that God was proclaiming his kingdom and calling all to live new lives. They could not see past the violence of the cross to see what God can do with human sin. They could not see the boundless grace that would take the act of crucifixion and turn it into a prayer of forgiveness. Let us have the courage to preach Christ crucified to the world, to follow in his radical words, to follow his radical actions, loving others as we are loved by God, respecting the dignity of every human being. Let us lift high the King of peace, the King of glory. Amen.